Now is the best time to start working at Amazon. They're offering sign-on bonuses up to $3,000 and hourly pay up to $22 per hour. You'll bring home a great weekly paycheck, and many jobs come with benefits that start on your first day. That's higher pay, sign-on bonuses, benefits day one. And you'll be part of a safe and inclusive workplace ranked among the best in the world. Go to amazon.com/apply to start your job search today. Amazon is proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
Hour two of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. Welcome back to the program. Phone lines are open. You want to take part? 651-989-5855. Email address, JD@TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, and the hashtag to use on Twitter is TCNT. Also, you can follow us at JDTCNT. Use all of those if you want to make a prediction in the Friday news quiz coming up at 8:35 this morning. Pleased to welcome to the program the Friday Roundtable participants and participants in the news quiz, along with Sam, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Good to be here.
And our energy guru from the Center of the American Experiment, wearing the ugliest shirt I've seen in a long time, Isaac
Ooh,
Gore.
That is an ugly shirt. Disgusting.
We'll have to put it on Twitter so everybody can make fun of it.
Ew. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
I just happened to cheer for the greatest football team in the history of existence with the most world championships.
I used to like you, Isaac.
Yeah.
I'm getting flashbacks from working with former Green Bay Packer Willie Davis right now. It's not fun.
Isaac woke up and chose violence this morning.
Apparently.
I choose violence every morning.
So, a friend of the show, a moment ago, we were going through Merriam. Webster was adding new words. They had 455 new words this year, and we were running through the list of the new food-related words, and we kind of got stuck on air fryer. Sam had pushed back on our contention, Drew, that it's still two words, but apparently, according to friend of the show, incorrigible, Sam is correct. It's now one word.
Oh, I love being right.
He goes on to say... To Justice and Drew, you're wrong. The English language is a living language, and phrases can be used as a word for definition. You two are just wrong when it comes to languages. We don't speak Latin.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Wow.
Dang.
He also chose violence, apparently. Also chose violence.
I love it.
I just think in terms of what gets put in the dictionary, and I get it, Merriam-Webster is no longer just a dictionary that you have on the shelf. It's a website where people go looking for more than just the definition of simple words. I get all that.
It is.
What else do you do? What else? That's what Urban Dictionary was for.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm confusing this.
You are, yeah. You guys have been talking about new Urban Dictionary words all morning?
That's a dangerous topic.
That would be a fun topic.
That's podcast-only material.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, got a couple items I'm going to dive into here. CNBC, so here's some fantastic news for a Friday. The U.S. economy grew at a 2% rate in the third quarter. It is the slowest gain of the pandemic-era recovery, as supply chain issues and a marked deceleration in consumer spending stunted the expansion, according to the Commerce Department on Thursday. The gross domestic product.
I didn't see anything about Joe Biden in there.
Nope, there and there isn't.
I think what stunted the expansion is Joe Biden.
The GDP, the sum of all goods and services produced, grew at 2.0% annualized pace in the third quarter. According to the department's first estimate, economists surveyed by Dow Jones had been looking at 2.8 reading. So this came in below expectations.
This marks the slowest GDP gain since the 31.2% plunge in the second quarter of 2020, which of course was when the entire world shut down and the economy ground to a halt. But since then, this 2% growth is the slowest gain. So this whole building back better thing is not really building, nor is it back, nor is it better.
Yeah, I was attending a webinar a couple days ago from some financial people, and they were kind of predicting what was coming out, and they said you're going to see numbers where in dollar amounts you're going to see a large increase, but when you adjust for inflation, you realize that it's not really people are buying more; they're just having to pay more
for
things.
They're having to pay a lot more, right? Yeah, Jen Psaki still insists, goes up there on that podium every single day, and insists that the supply chain issues are the result of a rebounding economy that magically just started 9 months ago.
Uh-huh.
somebody tell me, please, email or tweet at us or call in. Somebody, where is the economy rebounding? In what sector is the economy rebounding right now? Because I'm not seeing it.
Government employment?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, and again,
until the vaccine mandates kick in,
you know, we'll continue to hit upon that theme that seems to be sort of the running thread, and it's how informed is the public in reality? Because the media is just not, they're not doing their due diligence. And, you know, we talked about it earlier, how, you know, the desire, it's not going to happen, but the desire of, you know, your cable news, your mainstream media outlets, and your local news outlets to quit looking at party politics on either side and just report the straight up news. Because if they're not, and they're not going to be honest in why this is actually happening, then we're not going to get anywhere in terms of electing individuals to go and make a change. It's just going to go into perpetuating the problems that are existing right now. So you're right, Drew, when you pointed to, there's no mention of Biden in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no mention of why this is happening. I mean, we're supposed to be coming out of this whole thing. We're supposed to be on the backside of this. I was reading a story out of the San Francisco Gate yesterday talking about restaurants and how they are actually, in San Francisco, they're actually looking at the end of the year and into next year of finally coming out of the pandemic. And yet here we are. You know, they were looking at 2.8 and we come out with 2.0 GDP and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight of it improving anytime soon. And I think a vast majority of the public has no idea why it's happening because they're not being told.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned restaurants, John. I was scheduling a lunch meeting actually for later today, earlier in the week, and I've got about 5 or 6 clients downtown that I could go to lunch at. I was like, nope, closed for lunch. None of them were open at lunchtime because the traffic isn't there right now. And it's part, I think, still because of COVID, but also, you know, on top of that, you throw in the defund the police movement and the fact that the outbreaks of crime in Minneapolis, people aren't going places.
Well, we had predicted, you know, very early in this pandemic when, you know, all of the companies started instituting remote work plans and doing that, you know, the commercial real estate market was going to take a huge, huge hit. Mm-hmm. And that offices, especially in downtown urban areas, not just in the Twin Cities, but around the country, we're going to realize that, you know, we're spending so much money on this real estate, so much money on this space, on this box for our employees to come to and work in. And a lot of them are realizing that's not necessary anymore.
Exactly.
You can save all of that money. COVID or not, whether the pandemic wanes or comes back or whatever happens, it is not going to change the trajectory that a lot of these companies are already on, which is moving away from big, expensive downtown office spaces that really only their main purpose is just to impress clients 95% of the time and have the fancy conference room.
Right.
Like, they don't need that anymore, and they're going to stop spending that money, which means every one of those businesses in downtown areas, and again, this is nationwide, not Minneapolis, that depends on foot traffic and lunch traffic and office workers and things like that, they're all going to suffer. A lot of them are going to die.
Yep. So I'll leave here today and go down to my office downtown. It'll be the first time I've been there in 2 weeks. I'm not paying $3 a gallon in gas to drive 30 miles, you know, one way, 30 miles back the other way. It's just not when you can do everything that you need to do remotely.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
During an interview with CNBC, Coca-Cola CEO James Quincy explained that some issues are ongoing and structural, and some issues appear for a quarter and disappear again. However, Coca-Cola is foreseeing product shortages next year. Like other food and beverage companies, Coke is dealing with snarls in the supply chain, higher commodity costs, which have resulted in some shortages. Quincy said the company uses its global scale and long-term partnerships to navigate issues within the supply chain. However, it's not possible to mitigate all the challenges. He presented a second analogy comparing the supply chain headaches to a game of whack-a-mole. And then he went on to say, right, my analogy would be like it's a bit like an earthquake. You get further shock waves coming through, but they tend to be diminishing in magnitude. So at California's two busiest seaports, which process 40% of all shipping traffic entering the United States, there are dozens of vessels, as we've talked about, waiting and entering to unload, leading to empty shelves and product shortages across the nation. Nevertheless, Biden administration officials, such as Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, are dismissing the bottlenecks as a sign of President Biden's successful managing of the economy. And again, here's that ridiculous assertion. We talked about it before. But if you think about those, if you think about those images of ships, for example, waiting at anchor on the West Coast, you know every one of those ships is full of record amounts of goods that Americans are buying because the demand is up. Because income is up, because the president has successfully guided this economy out of the teeth of a terrifying recession, Buttigieg claimed. And this goes back to what I said before. The mainstream media does not go and follow up on what a bogus, nonsense statement that is. They just, they put it out there, right? And they take it at face value. And so, you know, the vast majority of people, in my opinion, on the left that are watching certain media outlets, they see that and they go, well, there's my reason why.
Yeah.
Pete Buttigieg just told me the reason why. You know, demand is up because Biden's doing a great job because the economy's booming. And that's why, you know, that's why all these ships are there because they're bringing in all these goods that everybody wants. And it's a complete and total lie.
It's a flat out lie. And they do. They just nod their head and they go along with it.
It's interesting. Jen Psaki said that inflation is a high class problem. Have you guys talked about this yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't need to belabor the point, but that's like the complete opposite of what inflation is.
Jen Psaki knows about as much about economics as I know about eating salad, which is not much.
Oh, I wasn't going to make any assumptions. I was like, oh, maybe she's a very learned person department.
No. Not really.
Yeah. So it's like the cruelest tax on the lowest income people. Mm-hmm. Just any savings you might have is just destroyed.
And that is kind of par for the course with the left, isn't it? I mean, they talk so much about tax the rich, and redistributing wealth. But more often than not, when push comes to shove and they need revenue or they want revenue, they are more than happy to put in some of the most regressive taxes that you could possibly put in, things like taxes on gasoline, things like taxes on cigarettes, sin taxes, all of those things. Democrats love those. They raise tons of money. They love preying on the addicted, and preying on necessities, things that people need in order to get their revenue. It's one of their favorite things to do. And every single one of those taxes is incredibly more painful for the low income.
In fairness, they do these things because the only time they've ever learned about economics is the theoretical from some university professor rather than actually running a business.
Yeah, that's true. 651-989-5855. Let's see what Garrett in Mille Lacs has to say. Good morning, Garrett. Go ahead.
Yes. So the ship is not, I mean, our country's not gaining. It's sinking. We're sinking like the Titanic.
Go ahead.
Yep.
That's it?
Okay. Right. Cool.
Thanks, Garrett.
Yeah.
Good metaphor.
I want to get in one of the lifeboats, please.
He stayed on hold for a long time.
That's good.
I appreciate the dedication.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he's practicing. And he'll call us again and have a little bit more to say. You talk about unintended consequences, uninformed individuals, depending on what they're watching. And it makes me laugh a little bit because you see different corporations out there doing their best to try to encourage people. Like, they're doing what the mainstream media should doing. Like, for example, from CNN, Hasbro, okay, brushed off global supply chain concerns and reported solid sales and earnings for the third quarter, thanks in large part to a strong demand for its Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering role-playing games, which I had no idea were still popular.
I knew they were, but I did not think they were popular enough to sort of shore up a company that might otherwise be struggling. That's surprising to me. I know D&D and Magic are still widely played, but
The Pawtucket, Rhode Island-based toy giant said earlier this week the third quarter revenue was up from a year ago. And they also said, you know, that this comes on the heels of just a week after toy rival Mattel reported healthy sales and gave an upbeat outlook for the fourth quarter of the holiday shopping season. But the main takeaway was that Hasbro was coming out and saying the toys will be ready for the holidays despite the supply chain crisis. And so, you know, you wonder, too, how many individuals are even hesitant to go out shopping, potentially, thinking for Christmas items, thinking the stuff's not even going to be there, right? I mean, how much stunting is that taking place as well? And then here you have, you know, certain corporations coming out and saying, no, 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 we're good. You know, we're good. You can come and buy your toys. I find that interesting, too, as sort of an unintended consequence of the media coverage surrounding all of this.
And we know that a lot of how economies performs are based on perceptions of the consumers and, you know, the buying community and things like that, and not necessarily what's actually happening. Perceptions can go a long way. I'm really curious to see, like, what's going to happen that in that sort of post-Thanksgiving leading up to Christmas time period, because now for weeks parents have been hearing, you know, alarm bells, buy your Christmas stuff now, stock up now, because it's not going to be there. So what's going to happen if it is there? Like, what's going to happen if the supply chain issues actually do loosen up a little bit and stores are stocked with shelves? But you got a bunch of parents going, I did my shopping back in August and September because you guys all told me that this stuff wasn't going to be there. I mean, that's going to really screw a lot of stores when the holiday season kicks into full gear.
Your phone call's coming up, 651-989-5855. We have dueling stories for the expertise of both of our roundtable guests this morning. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, we will talk a bit with you about Tina Smith and her wanting to pack the Supreme Court and her excuses as to why she wants to do that now, because she said before she wasn't about that. And Isaac Orr from Center of the American Experiment, we have some audio for you from Joe Biden. Curious to get your thoughts on Joe Biden's claims that you can, you know, literally, I'm sorry, figuratively speaking, drive an electric car across the country on a single tank of gas.
Twin Cities News Talk.
Now is the best time to start working at Amazon. They're offering sign-on bonuses up to $3,000 and hourly pay up to $22 per hour. You'll bring home a great weekly paycheck, and many jobs come with benefits that start on your first day. That's higher pay, sign-on bonuses, benefits day one. And you'll be part of a safe and inclusive workplace ranked among the best in the world. Go to amazon.com/apply to start your job search today. Amazon is proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew, along with Sam. We got a roundtable in studio this morning. Isaac Orr, Center of the American Experiment. Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire. We'll be competing against Sam in the news quiz coming up at 8:35. And right around 8 o'clock, we'll talk about why PETA has a problem with the word bullpen. Speaking of words.
Yeah.
Oh, PETA.
We'll dive into that.
PETA's dumb.
We were talking about supply chain issues. Al in Eden Prairie's been holding for a while. Let's go and talk with Al. Good morning, Al. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Quick one for you. Something I have heard recently that hasn't really been discussed about is, yes, they're starting to finally get shifts unloaded. But one of the issues that I've been hearing about that.
Time
this stuff has been on the ship.
Say it. There you go.
Al, back up.
Yeah, back up a little bit. You cut out. So, what? One of the things you're not hearing about with them offloading the ships is what?
Having mold issues on the products because they've been on the ship so long. You know, like double or triple the time they planned on it being there. So the products get there, but the stuff's moldy. So we're gonna have to throw it away.
That's amazing. I'd not heard that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that. I mean, we talk about the lack of foresight in so many issues in the wake of COVID and the pandemic. You know, and that seems like another one where you don't deal with supply chain issues all that often, so you're not prepared for those supply chain issues, and suddenly now you're having to deal with, you know, things like that that you weren't normally expecting. And the one example that we gave with regard to that was the bus driver shortage. That's the one that comes out of my mind, is that nobody for a second thought that closing the schools down for a year, the individuals that normally drive the bus would have to go and find some other livelihood during that time, and therefore when the schools reopened, they may not be so inclined to come back and want to drive the bus.
It's kind of vintage government, right? I mean, you know, you've got this crucially important step in our education process, especially for younger kids in elementary and middle school, which is the transportation aspect, getting them to and from the school every single day. They know that people are dependent on it. They're used to it. And to come to find out that this whole time they've just been relying on nice retirees who have nothing better to do with their time and no backup plan. for the nice retirees who take our kids to and from school. You know, that's so government. Like, you didn't come up with a contingency plan in case the you had a mass retirement or something along those lines. Like, that's it. That's your plan, is just to find a bunch of old people with way too much time on their hands that can work 3 hours in the morning, take a 7 hour break, and 3 hours in the afternoon.
Wait, apparently. Are they conscripting old people? Is that what you're doing? Because
yes, they are.
Next will be driverless school buses.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh. All right, let's switch gears here. Joe Biden jetted off to Rome. Unfortunately, he went without the ability to go and talk to his global warming and climate change alarmists about what he plans to do. His $1.75 trillion Build Back Better bill has stalled once again. Nancy Pelosi is looking at another extension on this again. Before we get into this piece of audio, what Joe Biden said, I want to stop for just a second, because I don't think we've talked about this before. Like, with Make America Great Again, and it could just be me because I supported President Donald Trump, but like with Make America Great Again, it that seemed to be attached to a pretty simple idea. And it was, you know, in my opinion, a return to societal norms, a looking past political correctness, you know, getting back to what America was founded upon and what made America great. Right. And I feel like that was something that most everybody got, regardless of political affiliation, even if you hated MAGA and the whole Make America Great Again. The Build Back Better, that confuses me. And it goes back to, in my mind, this idea that the mainstream media doesn't hold Joe Biden nearly as accountable as they did President Trump. But with Build Back Better, build back from what? It wasn't like Trump ravaged the country.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like we were struck by an asteroid off, you know, in the Atlantic, and the waters washed ashore and then they receded, and we had to. So that whole idea of the Build Back Better, well, Build Back Better from what? What are you?
Yeah.
But it was never questioned. It was never talked about. It still is.
Just a fun little
catch all. Sure, just a nice little catch all to put all of their garbage into.
Mm-hmm.
But right. Nobody ever really pointed that Build Back Better from what?
Apply as much scrutiny to Build Back Better as you did to Make America Great Again. Because that upset a whole bunch of people. Right. What do you mean again?
Yeah.
When we're always great. But Build Back Better from what?
Well, I think that, you know, for a normal human being, Build Back Better might mean, you know, we're going to have an economy that's stronger than it was before, right? I think in their eyes, they see it in Build Back Better as we're going to make sure that we're always in power. We can continue to push our agenda, and that other side is never going to get a chance to ruin things again like they did. Because I think the last 4 years in their minds was completely disastrous. It gets back to, you know, the court packing thing that John teased a little bit ago. This was horrible for them. They were out of power for 4 years. They couldn't do all these good things that they want to do now.
Well, yeah, one of the things that we'd heard for so long is that America isn't great. It's never been great. So yeah. I think that it was a lot of that sort of malaise that the Obama administration never explicitly said, and what Joe Biden has basically reduxed in, you know, his short presidency. Like, it wasn't that, you know, America has always been great. That's not what the criticism of MAGA was. It was America has never been great. We're a fundamentally bad, evil country.
Right.
And that's what got people ticked off. That's what made.
Well, you heard that.
Yeah.
You heard that angle. You heard the, you know, the Hillary Clinton angle of, you know, I think America has always been great. I don't think we need to be made great again. Yep. And then you heard the other angle of, you know, Make America Great Again means you want to go back to Jim Crow and slavery. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to go back. That's when you think America was great. All of which were BS. It's a slogan. It's a political slogan. That's all it is.
So here's what we'll do. We'll play the audio from Joe Biden, and then we'll get a little bit more into it and provide our commentary on it. So as part of his agenda, the White House is describing this nearly $2 trillion spending drive as the largest effort to combat climate change in American history. And here's a little snippet of what Joe Biden had to say yesterday.
We'll build out the first ever national network of 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations all across the country. So when you buy an electric vehicle, and you get credit for buying it, you buy an electric vehicle, you can go all the way across America on a single tank of gas, figuratively speaking. It's not gas. You plug it in. 500,000 of them. These stations along the way. We're going to get off the sidelines on manufacturing solar panels and wind farms and electric vehicles with targeted manufacturing credits. You manufacture, you get them a credit for doing it.
All right, we have our commentary on that coming up next on Justice and Drew.
He's so dumb. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. I got to say real quick, I'm really proud of you, Sam.
Why?
I am really proud of you.
Why?
We have made it to Friday, October 29th, and you have not done the silly, spooky voice once. Not even once.
Yeah, what's up with that? I'm not proud of you at all. You disappointed me.
No, she's mature.
You have let me down.
Mr. Justice, right, I need to inform you, I am 26 years old now. 26-year-olds do not do spooky voice. Yeah.
Oh, she's blossoming into womanhood right in front of our very eyes.
I'm just kidding.
This is what happens when I take, you know, like a week off dealing with things.
Yeah, you know, Sam had to step up her game, you know, because you were off, and now she's all mature and serious.
Yeah, John, you forced me to grow up. How dare you? I had to sit here and be like, I'm raising this family alone as a child.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien has joined us in the studio as part of the roundtable, as has Isaac Orr from the Center of the American Experiment. They will be competing with Miss Maturity in there coming up at 8:35 this morning.
With the old woman.
I take that back. In the Friday news quiz. On Thursday, White House announced that it was confident a $1.75 trillion version of President Biden's Build Back Better bill would be able to pass both the House of Representatives and the Senate, and that it would set the United States on a course to meet its climate goals. That didn't happen. Now he's in Rome. They're going to wake him up and tell him that because he doesn't know where he is. As part of its agenda, the White House is describing this nearly $2 trillion spending drive as the largest effort to combat climate change in American history. Here's a portion of what Biden had to say yesterday.
We'll build out the first ever national network of 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations all across the country. So when you buy an electric vehicle, and you get credit for buying it, you buy an electric vehicle, you go all the way across America on a single tank of gas, figuratively speaking. It's not gas. You plug it in. 500,000 of them. These stations along the way. We're going to get off the sidelines on manufacturing solar panels and wind farms and electric vehicles with targeted manufacturing credits. You manufacture, you get them a credit for doing it.
By the way, that tax credit was increased from $7,500 to $12,500. According to EVBox, the average electric vehicle range on a single charge is 194 miles, with the longest being 396 miles. The distance across the country, for example, New York City to Los Angeles is approximately 2,800 miles, which means that the average vehicle would need to be charged over 14 times. That is far more figurative than one tank of gas, as President Biden seems to be referring to it.
And how long does it take to get a full charge
in
these cars?
Where are we at now with like the shock charging stations? I know it used to be like around 20 minutes or whatever, but Isaac, do you have any idea how if they've gotten that down at all?
Yeah, you can get about 80% of your charge in like 20 to 30 minutes at one of those really fast charging stations.
That's a really fast charging station, 20 to 30 minutes. How long does it take to fill up a car with a tank of gas?
Less time.
Lot
20 to 30 seconds.
Yeah, a lot less. Yeah, 2 to 3 minutes maybe max, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would...
It's the same garbage.
You're going to pull into a charging station. Probably all going to be full because there's so many incentives now to buy electric cars, and so many states are mandating a certain percentage of electric cars be available. So say you're doing that cross-country trip, you pull into a charging station, they're all full. You got to wait the 20 to 30 minutes for them to clear out, and depending on how far back you are in line, you might have to wait another 20. That would suck.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do with this pilot station for 20 to 30 minutes?
Well, that's why the Teslas have the big screens, the entertainment systems.
Really? In them.
Yeah, because they know that you're going to have to sit at the charging station for a long time.
Do those even work, though, when you're low on it? I mean, I assume those pull from the same juice that the rest of the car does.
Yeah, so I wouldn't want to use it if I was like, it's one of those things where you're like not sure if you want to like hit the brake when you're super low on gas because you might need to ride those fumes to the gas station.
Look, I don't have an issue with EV vehicles if it's driven by consumer demand.
I don't either.
Right.
You know,
I'm actually a fan of them.
Well, you know, it's like for example, without opening up this can of worms, you know, the whole automobile industry right now is looking at another story yesterday where there are bidding wars that are going on at like used car dealerships because, you know, because you can't get the stock, you know, to come in. The dealerships don't have new vehicles to go and purchase. We were incredibly, you know, blessed. We found this 2012 Kia Sorento that only ended up having like 9,000 miles on it. And turns out that the individual who drove it was, you know, was a mom who used it to go back and forth from the grocery store to home, maybe to school, all within a small radius. So in a circumstance like that, I can see, you know, electric vehicle might be viable, but they continue to pump these pipe dreams.
I know.
We've seen this happen around the country for over a decade where certain municipalities have attempted to do this very thing. And I can tell you, and I'm sure Isaac, you can add to this, in those municipalities, yeah, they never ended up being viable.
Correct.
You know, those places sat empty. There was never enough cars to be charged there. Nobody wants to go and sit there in a grocery store or a department store parking lot with their car plugged in because they're not even going to be in there long enough to get it charged. Mm-hmm. 500,000 charging stations across the country at government top dollar expenses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, but paid for by tax dollars. I'm sure some buddy of Hunter Biden is right now starting up the LLC for the electric car charging station patent, mm-hmm. you know, and that they'll get all the nice fat government contracts for it.
And 10% to the big guy.
That's always 10% to the big guy.
Yeah, they're probably working on murals for each one, too.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah, right. Got to have art.
Yeah,
so the charging stations. They're going to have a fist statue at every one.
Yep, exactly.
Well, and, you know, we talked, moving on, he talked about wind and solar. And Isaac Gore, we had you on, you know, when it was during the colder months earlier in the year, when they were dealing with down in Texas, you know.
Yep.
I mean, we talked about what's going on here with our ridiculous windmills in the wintertime. But, you know, how Texas was trying to rely on some of this renewable energy and the disaster that ended up yielding when the winter months rolled along and they had those ice storms that ended up rolling through.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to be in trouble this year as well. So what happened was all of our home heating costs are going up, and a lot of that's due to the fact that we shut the economy down last year and cratered the demand for oil, because a lot of the natural gas that we produce in this country is produced along with oil. So when you shut in all of that oil production, you shut in the natural gas production, which is why our home heating bills are going to be so much higher this year. Also, now we have these higher natural gas prices, so utilities like Xcel Energy have burned through all of the coal they thought that they were going to need for this year already. So, like, utility companies and power companies throughout the Midwest are scrambling to find more coal to burn, and the coal companies can't ramp up production because a lot of them went bankrupt, had to sell off a bunch of equipment. So we could be looking at we will be looking at higher prices for electricity this year, no question. We may be looking at worse.
Yeah, didn't Xcel just ask the state for permission to do a 21% rate increase?
Yes, but that's only to pay for the renewable energy garbage that they're looking to build. So that's only going to go towards wind turbines, solar panels, transmission lines, that sort of stuff. So
really, that 20% increase is for more useless wind turbines and useless solar panels?
Precisely.
Made by slave labor in China?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Xcel, for supporting slave labor in China. Awesome.
What fascinates me is, you know, when it comes to the pandemic, it's all about because science, right? But if you're looking for a clean alternative to fossil fuels when it comes to energy, the most productive clean alternative is nuclear, and it's absolutely off the table.
Yeah, I know. And we talked about that so often as well. Now, is that, now you may or may not know this answer, but Isaac, but is that that's Xcel Energy doing that on their own? That's not mandated by the government, right? Is this them doing it on their own volition? I mean, we've talked about
talking about the renewables.
Yeah. I mean, their desire to move more towards renewables. I know the government's always kind of threatened to mandate that, but they're doing this on their own, right?
Yeah, they're doing it on their own because utilities don't make money when they provide low cost electricity. So they have a perverse incentive because they're a government approved monopoly. Whenever they build something, they get to make their money back on that asset plus a 10% return on investment.
So guaranteed by the government.
Yeah, it's approved by the government.
Brilliant, so, brilliant planning.
Yeah, so this actually makes the incentives of Xcel Energy to be the exact opposite of those of their consumers. And, you know, for a long time, back when it was Northern States Power Company, they did a really good job at keeping prices low. But as the leadership there has changed over time, they're like, we can scam all of these people with wind and solar, boost our profits, get huge raises. Let's do it. And in a way,
what a plan.
It's the most brilliant owning of the libs in the history of America, because you're just feeding them all the dumb crap that they believe in and you're laughing all the way to the bank. Unfortunately, everybody has to pay higher prices.
It reminds me of and it's probably a bad comparison, but it reminds me of the trash collection issue, where, you know, you're only allowed to go and purchase, you know, your trash collection from one particular company in one particular area, and they end up having the monopoly on that. You as a consumer don't end up having a choice. It's a very similar circumstance when it looks at your energy, because there's not, you know, what other options are there out there? A really big, a bunch of generators in your backyard?
Yeah, right. gas-powered generators?
Yeah, right. No, it's not gonna happen, so.
Valerie tweets at us using the hashtag TCNT. We don't have enough coal to fuel all those electric cars. Is that another aspect of this that always gets overlooked, is what powers the charging stations that power the electric cars. I mean, I feel like people are smart enough to realize that something has to power those. But when you listen to the way people talk about electric cars, it seems like they just believe it magically comes out of this little cord that's at this charging station, and there's nothing on the other end that's fueling that.
Oh, absolutely. I grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin and couldn't believe how much my classmates, even who grew up in a rural area, thought milk came from the store. So we suffer as a country from milk comes from the store syndrome, and that leads to every aspect of our lives.
That's a great way
so,
to put it.
California was asking people this summer not to charge their electric vehicles from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. because the sun was going down and they didn't have enough electricity to run air conditioning, run refrigerators, run electric cars. So,
they incentivize you, and in some cases even like bully you,
punish you
into getting these electric cars, and then they tell you, oh, sorry, we don't have enough electricity to power them.
It's hilarious. It's the biggest self-own.
It's so dumb.
I just love it.
It's so incredibly stupid.
But it's very funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
So are we going to get the dealerships? Are the dealerships going to be able to get electric cars? Because they can't get any other cars right now.
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's the other part of this.
Governor Walz knows. I don't think anybody that's pushing for all of these minimums and these percentages that you have to have, I don't think they have any idea. They're just doing it because it gets them a good headline.
Meanwhile, CarMax is over there smiling, you know. But I mean, you go to any dealership right now, and you can't get any new inventory.
Look, you know, members of the Obama administration were very, very open about their desire to have high fuel prices. That they were very open about their belief that getting the price of gasoline, you know, jacked up as high as they could possibly do it would be a good thing, because it would reduce consumption and it would get more Americans looking for more alternative methods of transportation. And sure enough, here we are 9 months into the Biden administration, and the gas prices are jacked up this high again. And Isaac, I specifically want to get your input on this. I mean, it feels intentional. It feels like these prices that we're paying at the pump right now, they feel 100% intentional and a choice made by our leaders.
Yeah, a lot of it is that just like when you go back to the Obama administration and the policies that they were implementing to restrict oil and gas, mostly pipelines, right? So Keystone should have been done during the Obama administration. Like, that shouldn't have been around for Biden to cancel. But a lot of it goes back to the forced shutdown of the economy during COVID. Oil prices went negative for a bit. So all these producers in the United States were on the sidelines saying, we don't want to jump into this because we don't want to lose money. And now that Biden's in office, they know that they're going to be on the chopping block next. So they're not really rushing to spend a bunch of capital. So, yeah, the administration is definitely a chilling factor.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking of this from the perspective of a car guy. You know, I've got a car that's from 1966. It's 55 years old. I don't see in 50 years people going to car shows and looking at electric vehicles.
No.
Probably not.
No. And the advancement in technology that they've made in hybrids, you know, the combination of the two. Yeah. Very sensible and logical and, you know, but those cars are also stupid expensive too.
I don't want my car to turn into my phone where I feel like I need to get a new one every 3 years. Because right? suddenly now the operating system is outdated and running slowly. But that's what it feels like the car market is going to turn into. That every 3 years, suddenly, you know, you're going to have to upgrade your operating system or your car is going to be obsolete.
Let's talk with Eric in Hudson. Good morning, Eric. Welcome to Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk. What's your thoughts this morning?
Good morning. I was thinking about the electric cars. When you drive an electric car and you fast charge it, like on them chargers that you're talking about, the 20-minute charger, that really cuts the battery life down, at least in the cars that are, you know, the batteries that are now. That would be the same as, like Sam, not changing her oil on time.
Why are you singling out Sam?
It's I'm not even offended. It's true. Drew, I didn't change my oil for over a year.
That's true.
I drive like...
But you're going to cut down the life of your battery really bad. So
you
know, it's just another thing to think about when you're talking about electric cars.
Thanks for your call, Eric.
Let's go, Brandon!
Seriously, let's go, Brandon.
651-989-5855. All right, coming up, we do the Friday News Quiz at 8:35 this morning. Also, the story of the radical and the wannabe radical, Tina Smith and Representative Ilhan Omar held a hybrid rally. Tina Smith gave a rather interesting excuse as to why she's changed her tune on packing the Supreme Court. And PETA calls on the MLB to replace bullpen with arm barn.